Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Nitzavim, we have 7 Divrei Torah, but the first 4 are intricately connected. They're all on the first pasuk of this week's Parsha. Parshas Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim, Ayom Kulchem, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. Here you are, Kalal Yisrael, you're all standing, reporting in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Meir Goldvich just told me at Mincha, really nice word, just tell one sentence from it. Atem Nitzavim doesn't mean simply you're standing here. It is the time for Klal Yisrael to take responsibility. Here you are, Atem Nitzavim, you're standing to take responsibility, to be Shomrei Torah Mitzvah, to keep the Torah, all of you together in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we hark back a number of psukim, we hark back to the end of last week's Parsha, if we look in Perek Haftes Pasuk Aleph, it says, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael Vayomar Aleihem, Moshe Rabbeinu called together all of Klal Yisrael, and he says to them, typically Moshe Rabbeinu would speak to the Nesim. The Nesim are the heads of the various tribes, and they would relay the messages of Moshe Rabbeinu to their tribes. But here we have something else going on between the Pasuk towards the end of last week's Parsha and this Pasuk. First pasuk in this week's parsha, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, all of you Klal Yisrael. This isn't Moshe Rabbeinu simply speaking to the heads of the Shvatim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to everyone equally, every member of Klal Yisrael, whether they be the greatest Rav or the simplest water carrier, whatever it would be. Everyone is standing, and the message, says the Al Shech, is that in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, all of you are equal. Correct that in the view of this world, the world that we live in, there are certain people who are more dignified, who are more accomplished, that are more capable, who are worthy of more respect. The great Rabbanim, we give them more respect, and that's what we need to do in this world. And the elders and the people who've made a lot of money, they get more respect. But in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't work that way. A Kadosh Baruch Hu has a very different way of looking at things. We don't know how a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at things. But we know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at, oh, this person had this degree and this person was respected by other people. A Kadosh Baruch Hu has a very different lens how he looks at people. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is relaying to us, explains the Al Shech. Atem, Nitzavim, Hayom, Kulchem, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. Everyone in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is equal. Everyone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is looking at through his eyes, not the eyes of people. When it comes to the eyes of people, they do have a pecking order. They say, Rosh Sheichem, Shifteichem, the heads of the Shvatim, they get the most respect. They're the most dignified. Zikneichem, the people who are elderly, who have accomplished much, who have the most knowledge, who have the PhDs. Vishotreichem, the Shotrim, those are in the eyes of this world, those people are more significant. But in a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, Kol Ish Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at everyone equally to start with. Obviously, some people accomplish more in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that he's looking at who's more dignified, who has a longer coat on, a longer jacket, who has whatever it may be. That's not through the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a famous Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Yoram Beis. And in that Gemara, Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua, passed away. He had a near death event, or he was in a coma, passed away, and he came back to life, Baruch Hashem. And his father, Rabbi Yeshua, asked Yosef, so what did you see when you went to Olam Haba? And he responded, Olam Hafuch Raisi. I saw an upside down world. The priorities there up in Olam Haba were the opposite, or different, certainly different than what we see in the world that we live in. Lamata, Elyonim Lamata, the people who were viewed in this world as the dignified, the respected people, there in the world to come, they were below. There they were the lowly people. V'tachtonim, and the people in this world who were lowly, they were viewed as the great people. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how he looks at it. A Kadosh Baruch Hu apparently looks at it as people who tried the hardest, who accomplished the most, given the capabilities and skills that they were given. It's not the people on an absolute scale who accomplished the most, who learned the most, but people who, given who they were and the skills that they were given, did they maximize their abilities. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm reading into this, the Al Shech doesn't say this specifically, but I think it's fairly poshut that we're looked at for our efforts, and the people who put in the most efforts, or that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Rahman Alibabai, he wants our hearts, he wants our souls, he wants our efforts. And accordingly, that is how we are reading this pasuk here. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Livnei Shalom Kulchem, all of you, equally, you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In your eyes, you have people who are head of the Shvatim and the Zakenim and the Shotrim, but in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at all of us equally. We all have the equal ability to become the greatest people. It's not based on how we are designated in this world. Step number two, for our Torah number two, is just to build on that. Rebbe Bonim Mipshischa says something absolutely beautiful. He says as follows, that it's not only that this is a concept we're talking about, that in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that it's not the dignified who are better, more significant than other people, the people who have the longer beards or whatever it may be. Rebbe Bonim Mipshischa says this is actually a halacha. It's actually a famous halacha. Oftentimes you don't think of it in this purview, in this way. But it's actually a halacha, a very famous halacha. There are three different pillars of averas, three very significant averas, that if somebody could come to you and say, you need to commit this avera or I will kill you, you have to be killed. That's the yei hareg val yavor. You have to be killed rather than committing the sin. Other sins, commit the sin, chai behem, our lives come before. But these three, you can't commit, the three cardinal sins. One of them is murder. You can't commit murder. So if A comes to B, and A says to B, B, you have to kill C, or else I'm going to kill you. The Gemara tells us that B is not permitted to kill C. Why not? Because the Gemara explains, Mechazis didama didach somak tvei, dilma dama dahu gavra somak tvei. How do you know that your blood is redder? It's talking to B. B, how do you know that your blood is redder? Maybe the blood from C is redder. Who said, B, that you're more significant in God's eyes? Maybe C is. So how can you kill C? You have to be killed. And in fact, says Rabbonim Mipsischa, that how about if B is the biggest tzaddik? He's the biggest gon. He is the most famous person in the world. He's known as the Gadol Ador, and he's B. And A comes to him and says, B, Rabbi B, you got to kill C. And C is a low life. But nonetheless, he's a yid. The halacha is as follows, that B has to be killed. Yehareg val yavor. He has to be killed rather than killing C. Why? Because B, despite the fact that you are viewed in this world as being so much more significant, but in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who knows? Maybe C's blood is redder than yours. And that's the same concept we're talking about. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem chechem. In the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, he looks at it differently. Very different way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grades who are the great people in this world, and then the world come in particular, and who are not. Step number three, Dvar Torah number three, building on that. The Botzina de Nahora says as follows, that when there are communal needs that come out for Klal Yisrael, So there's something that needs to be done, something significant, something that has to be taken on, fighting anti-Semitism, fighting the reform conservative who are attacking the Torah. People would typically say, who am I? Who am I? Mani, miani, who am I to get involved in this? There are great rabbanim to deal with these issues. These are very significant societal issues. There are admorim, there are askanim to deal with these, but truth be told, that is a mistake. When it comes to issues of lifnei Hashem Elokecha, things that are necessary in the klal, especially when it comes to kvod shemaim, when it comes to protecting the Torah, to protect the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch, we have to know, atem nitzavim kulchem ayom. All of us are responsible. Each of us is standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch, lifnei Hashem Elokechem, when there is that public need, especially when it comes to the protection. Standing up for the cover of Torah, standing up for the cover of Kadosh Baruch Hu, each of us is equally responsible. And now we're moving on to number four, building on the same concept. Atem nitzavim kulchem ayom. We're all in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a nice vort, a nice thing that there are different nuschos, different davenings, different orders of the davening. And it's known there's Nusach Ashkenaz, that's what I personally daven, and the way it starts, the Psuki de Zimra, that you say Rabbi Shmuel Omer, and then you say Mizmor Shir, Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, Mizmor Shir, and then we say Baruch Shamar, and then you get to Hodu, etc., and then you get to Yichvod, and then Ashrei. But Nusach Svard, and also Svaradim, daven differently. They start out with Hodu. Hodu, Lashem Kiruv Yishmo, etc., etc. So there's a different order at the beginning of the Psukei Tesimra between the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svard. But where do they meet up? Where do they synchronize when they get to Yichvod Hashem, which is talking about the Kavod Shemayim, the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the message is that we may have Chassidim that daven Nusach Svard, and we have Misnagdim that daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and there are differences, and indeed there are different approaches and different minhagim, but when it comes to Kavod Shemayim, the tefillah of Yichvod Hashem, we're all on the same page. From there on out, we go in the same direction. Yichvod is when we meet, we synchronize, because we need to be on the same page when it comes to Kavod Shemayim, which is Yihi Chvod. Now we are finally moving off the first Pasuk. We are now moving to, in fact, another very, very famous Pasuk. This is our fifth Dvar Torah, and we are in Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Chaf Ches. And the Pasuk says as follows, Hanis Tarosh L'Hashem Elokein, anything that's hidden, unknown, not revealed, that's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to know. We can't act on things that we don't know. But Niglos, however, things we know about, things that have been revealed to us, Lanu Ulevaneinu Adolam, that's for us, that's for our children, for all future generations, for all posterity, for all eternity, Lasos is called Divrei HaTorazos. We have to be Mekayim the entire Torah. So very nice explanation to this. It goes as follows. Two important points first before the explanation. Chazal tell us, important Gemara in Chulin, very yosodi, very fundamental Gemara that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell us the various reasons for many of the mitzvahs, and also he did not tell us the schar for the vast majority of the mitzvahs. We don't know what schar we're going to get, this much credit. Is this a 10 out of 10? Is this a 1 out of 10? Is that a 3 out of 10? And the reason is, this is Gemara in Chulin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to tell us this is a big mitzvah, this is a small mitzvah, because obviously human nature would be that we'll just do the tens, maybe the nines, certainly not the fours and threes and twos and ones. So if we would get the rating system from the mitzvahs, we would only focus on the big ticket items and not the small ticket items. That is point number one. Point number two is as follows. There are two mitzvahs that say very explicitly the schar. They do. They say very explicitly what's the schar of them. They say, and the schar is huge, L'man yitav lach v'harach tayamim, this will be good. You do these mitzvahs, it will be great for you. You'll have arichus yamim, you'll have extended lives. It will be tremendous for you to do these mitzvahs. Which are they? So ironically, one is the easiest mitzvah in the book, and one is the hardest mitzvah. And they both say the same schar, L'man yitav lach v'arach tayamim. It'll be great for you, hugely beneficial, and you'll have arichus yamim. So the difficult, the terribly difficult, not terribly, it's not the right word, but the incredibly difficult is the most difficult one, kibud avayim. That's what Chazal tell us. The most difficult mitzvah, kibud avayim, to do it correctly with all the details on all the halachas. Kibud avayim is a very difficult mitzvah to fulfill in its proper and full way. And the most easiest one, Shiluach HaKen. What's Shiluach HaKen? I'm walking along. It's not on my property. I'm walking along on the street. I happen to see there's a mother bird that's nesting on a baby bird or an egg, and it fills the requirements. It's the mother. All I have to do is send the mother away, lift up the egg, lift up the baby. Shiluach HaKen, done. It doesn't cost me a penny. It doesn't cost me anything. I didn't have to prepare anything. It didn't take me any time. Shiluach HaKen. These two mitzvahs, two extremes. One's the hardest, kibud avayim. One's the easiest, shiluach haken. And they both say the same schar. Why is that? Because it wanted to tell us that you should be mekayim these, the tremendous schar, the easiest and the hardest, and everything in between as well, where it doesn't say the schar, they're also going to be l'man yitav lach v'arach tayamim. You have to keep all the mitzvahs. That's why these two concepts, the Gemara and Chulin, point number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the most part, didn't say the schar, so we wouldn't choose this, the most significant ones, the bigger schar ticket mitzvahs. And point number two, but two of them, it did say, l'man yitav lach v'arach tayamim, the biggest one, the hardest one and the easiest one. So explains Rav Alexander Zusha Friedman as follows. The pasuk based on this, v'hanistaros b'Hashem Elokeinu. We're going back to our pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hanistaros are the things that were hidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid from us, for the most part, the schar of the mitzvahs. Hanistaras Lashem Elokeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid it from us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, we don't know the schar of mitzvahs. V'haniglos, but the ones that were revealed, and we mentioned two that were revealed, V'haniglos, Lanu Levaneinu. Which two are they? One is for us, that's talking about Shiloh HaKen, and one is for our children, Levaneinu, that is the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. So far we're reading the pasuk is Hanis Rashal Melkeinu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, for the most part, he hid the Schar HaMitzvahs. But Vaniglos, there are at least two he told us. One is Lanu, the easiest one, that's Shiloh HaKen, Levaneinu. One is the hardest one, that's for our children to do, that's Kibud Avaim. And all of this, to wrap it all together, is why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hide almost all the mitzvahs, but reveal two of them to teach us? And now we finish off the pasuk, lasos es kol divrei HaTorah, so to tell us, you've got to do all the mitzvahs. I hid almost everything. And I also told you the two, the easiest and the hardest. All of this is to tell you that you have to be mekayim all of the mitzvahs. I didn't tell you most of them. I told you two of them. Why? To teach you that you have to do everything in between, the hardest and the easiest one. Don't pick and choose. All of the mitzvahs have great schar, the manitav lach v'arachta yamim, and we have to do all of them. We are now moving forward to another famous pasuk, psukim. We are now in Perek Lamed, starting with pasuk Yudbeis, and it says, lo b'shamayim hi. We'll see what this is talking about. The Torah will say for now, it's not in heaven that you should say, who is going to go up to the heaven and get the Torah? It's also not me'ever layam. It's not on the other side of the ocean that you have to go and traverse the ocean. Ki karov elecha hadavra me'od b'ficha b'vacha lasa. So it's so close to you. It's in your heart. Ki karov elecha hadavra me'od b'ficha, in your mouth, in your heart to do it. So this is word number six. There's a Tana de Eliyahu, and it talks about a discussion between a certain trapper, that was his occupation, and Eliyahu and Avi, and there was a discussion between them. And the trapper, all day long involved in his parnasa, he says, you know, I wasn't given the ability, I wasn't given the intellectual abilities, the deya, the bina, to learn Torah. I can't do it. I don't have the kelim, I don't have the intelligence to be learning Torah. And Eliyahu and Avi says as follows, Lito pishtan, letavto, you had the ability to take flax and to wind it together, to weave it together, and to create these nets, and you're able to catch fish, and you're able to catch birds. To that, you were given the abilities, but for Divrei Torah, which it says in the Pasuk, Ki karav elecha davar mo'od, you weren't given the abilities to do that. You were given such amazing abilities, intellectual abilities, to do your occupation, but not for other things. So the Ohel Torah explains what's going on here. So it says, when you were born, you didn't know how to do any of these activities for your occupation. You didn't know. You had no clue how to grow flax, and you know, I had no idea how to wind it together to make a trap, and to set a proper trap, and how to hide. You didn't know any of that stuff. But, as we say, as my Chavrusa told me, necessity is the mother of invention. You were required to learn it. You needed to earn a parnasa, so you went and you learned everything necessary to earn that parnasa. Obviously, you have the abilities, you have the skills that you're able to learn things. And that's because you felt the need to do it. And indeed, if you felt the need, and you should feel the need to learn Torah as well, you have the abilities. And the message here is that not that you didn't have the abilities and the skills and the capabilities to learn Torah as well. You certainly have abilities and capabilities. You can. You just need the desire. And the pasuk tells us, lo b'shamayim, he learning is not on the other side. And there's actually there's a discussion in the Meforshim. What's this talking about? This is talking about limud haTorah, lo b'shamayim, he kikarov elecha davar, what's very close to you, is learning of the Torah, the entire Torah. Or is it talking about doing tshuva? And either way, the message is the same. If we're able to accomplish things in any area of our life, we have a parnasa and we learn the skills for that, certainly we can learn skills as well when it comes to learning. And kikarov elecha, whether it be learning or tshuva, it is there for us for the taking. Just to add on number seven, the Chidush Erim says as follows, im omnam chafetz ata b'chol levavcha lidabek b'torah. If you have a desire, you have a desire to learn Torah, you have such a desire to learn Torah, that if it were in the heavens, or if it were on the other side of the world, you'd have to traverse the oceans, you would be ready to do it. Anyone who really has that desire and passion, for that person, kikaro ve'lecha davro, and it's going to be right there for you. And what we have to do is make sure we have that passion, that burning passion, desire. And if we do, and we make the effort, kikaro ve'lecha, be it whether we're talking about limud Torah or tshuva, it's there for us. It's waiting for us. And we simply need to take the first step. Thank you so much for listening.